Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. A high death toll appears likely in this morning's crash at Mexico City Airport. A Western Airlines DC-10, inbound from Los Angeles, crashed while landing in heavy fog. There were 90 people aboard the plane, and Mexican radio says 80 of them are believed to have died in the accident. Other reports put the death toll at 61. An airline spokesman says the aircraft actually touched down, then veered off the runway for reasons unknown. A decade ago, it would have been unthinkable. Today, it's an accomplished fact. By a small but decisive margin, Birmingham, Alabama has elected its first black mayor. Sam Ford reports.
It was an off-year election in which more than 2 out of 3 registered voters went to the polls. 67% of the whites and 69% of the blacks. They elected the city's first black mayor, 8-year city council veteran Richard Arrington.
This is an historic occasion for our city. Because the majority of the voters of this city has tapped one of the sons of color in this city.
Arrington got 12% of the white vote, while his opponent, white businessman Frank Parsons, got less than 2% of the black vote. Parsons' law and order campaign had little appeal to blacks in this city, where animosities between much of the black community and the police department are strong. Parsons' campaign to increase police power and presence, while Arrington has long been a critic of alleged police brutality. How the city's new black mayor and its 90% white police department work together will be closely watched. Sam Ford, CBS News, Birmingham.
Arrington takes office 2 weeks from today, becoming the third black mayor of a major southern city. The others are Ernest Morial of New Orleans and Maynard Jackson of Atlanta. The Supreme Court today considers the question of whether transcripts of Henry Kissinger's telephone calls while he was Secretary of State must be made available to the public. We'll hear about that from Fred Graham.
They have to be among the juiciest documents of the Nixon and Ford administrations, the transcripts of all of Henry Kissinger's telephone conversations when he was Secretary of State. Kissinger had his conversations secretly transcribed by government stenographers, and when he left office, he gave the transcripts to the Library of Congress with a condition that nobody but he could see them for the next 25 years. A group of reporters and scholars challenged that, saying the transcript belonged to the government, not Kissinger, and that they must be made public under the Freedom of Information Act. The lower courts agreed, and today the Supreme Court will hear arguments from Kissinger's attorney, who asserts that the Freedom of Information Act does not apply because the documents are not government records, he says, and are no longer in the possession of the executive branch. Lawyers for the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press will argue that the transcripts are government records because they were made at government expense, and that high officials should not be permitted to frustrate the Freedom of Information Act by donating sensitive papers to a library. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
Well, of course, there has been a crash of a Western Airlines DC-10 this morning. It was on a flight from Los Angeles to Mexico, and it crashed on landing at the airport in heavy fog. Here's Alex Sullivan with more details.
Russ, according to Western Airlines in Los Angeles, Ray Silvius, their vice president for corporate affairs, he says there were 90 people on board, a total of 77 passengers and 13 crew members. However, our CBS radio affiliate in Mexico City quotes airport officials as saying there were 87 people confirmed dead with 4 survivors. That, of course, would mean there'd be 91 aboard. So those are the latest figures we have at this time. It was flight 605. It left at 12:50 this morning from LAX. It is a nonstop to Mexico City. It is popularly known as the Tecolote, or Night Owl, because of night flying. It's also occasionally dubbed the Red Eye Special. More on the accident now from Mike Pulsifer in KNX News Central.
And Alex, right now on the telephone we have Jerry Levy of the Public Affairs Section of the FAA in Washington. And Mr. Levy, what do you have there in your office concerning this accident?
Well, you probably have as much information as I do at this point. It's a Western flight 605 DC-10 en route from Los Angeles to Mexico City. Crashed on landing. I don't know under what circumstances. Reportedly, there was some fog. Crashed at about 6:44 Eastern Standard Time. We have, the count we have, 77 passengers aboard and a crew of 13. We believe there are some survivors, but we just don't know at this point.
What's the problem? Just the great distance and so forth? It's difficult to get information out of there?
I really don't know. But this is fairly typical in following an accident. There's a lot of information that's you got to run down, and it's nothing you can confirm getting very much information, period, at this point.
Now, what about the FAA involvement in the post-crash involvement? Will there be an investigation by your agency?
Of course. The National Transportation Safety Board, which is responsible for investigations of these kinds of accidents, has already sent a go team to Mexico City to begin the investigation, and will probably send additional people later. And, of course, we will be assisting them in whatever way we can, you know, depending on what happened. We just don't know what happened at this point.
I suppose we should ask, is there any indication at this point that this accident in any way could have been connected with the same problem that caused that tragic accident in Chicago last May?
Oh, it's much too too early to tell anything about that at this point. You know, it could have been pilot error. We just don't know. I have no idea.
Okay, thank you very much. That's Jerry Levy of the Federal Aviation Administration Public Affairs Section in Washington. KNX News Radio also has been maintaining contact with the U.S. Embassy in Mexico City, and we get additional information from them. Just a short time ago, I talked with Alejandro Acosta in the embassy's press section. He says the embassy has been told there are 14 known survivors and 41 confirmed deaths, including the captain, whose body has already been recovered from the plane. Acosta says earlier reports from two witnesses on the ground that the plane was burning as it prepared to land have been discounted.
It did hit the post office building, and it skidded away, the plane, and landed very far away from the runway. As I told you, the wind that had hit the building blew all the way to another house way across the airport, very far away. I think that's about what we have. Now we know that the plane was not really in trouble. It was approaching very well the runway. Everything was fine, and they were almost in Mexico City. And this terrible thing happened.
Acosta says some of the survivors apparently suffered either minor injuries or were not hurt at all. He says some of them walked from the plane after the crash. Alex?
Right, Mike, and a spokeswoman for the emergency ward at the Centro Medico Hospital in Mexico City says four injured were taken there, all in serious condition, and she said three of them were identified as Americans. And one airport worker said that there were three children among the dead. This could not be further verified. It was Flight 605, Western Airlines, from Los Angeles International Airport. Left at 12:50 this morning. The crash occurred about 4 minutes of three this morning. KNX News Radio time is 7:09, and with further details, here's Barry Rode.
Alex, we have been talking throughout the morning with Catherine Loretta, who works for the CBS affiliate station in Mexico City, and she has been working on the story of this plane crash since it first occurred. She says at last report she has now seen pictures of the plane.
Looks like a charred skeleton of metal. There's still heavy fog out at the airport, and they're still trying to get to the back of the plane. They have not reached the far back end of the plane. Luis Pascal, who's the vice president of Western Airlines, says they can't confirm what caused the crash and that they will be updating the press within the next couple of hours. We do have the list of survivors, and there are Mexicans, some Americans, some Italians, and some Peruvians on that list.
Catherine Loretta also says that she had heard reports that the plane, as it came into the airport, one of the wings clipped a post office building. She says, actually, it is not really a post office.
It's a house where post office workers live out at the airport. In other words, there are little houses, again, surrounding the airport, but the airport union workers have their little houses out there. And this is one of the houses that the wing
hit the top of this building. Then what happened?
Then the airplane came down to land and skidded on the runway. It hit two stairs of those stairs that you roll out to an airplane. It hit two of those, cracked in half, and burst into flames.
That was Catherine Loretta, who works for the CBS affiliate station in Mexico City. Repeating again, Western Airlines flight number 605 from Los Angeles to Mexico City, a DC-10, has crashed at the airport at Mexico City. At last report, there were 77 passengers on board, 13 crew members, according to officials of Western Airlines. There are now reports of 14 survivors. We'll have further updates on this story as they occur. This is Barry Rode, KNX News Radio.
News break.
Chrysler Corporation, the sick man of the auto industry, is expected to release its financial statement for the third quarter today, and analysts are predicting the figures will be printed in red, red ink, perhaps a $500 million worth. I'm Christopher Glenn, reporting on the CBS Radio Network, what Chrysler losses could mean to the country after this.
We make your daughters dance, wake you to the sun. We bake your bread and light your way when day is done. We make you pretty, we make you smile. GE, we bring good things to live in. We bring good things to life.
At GE, we're in the business of making products that make your life a little easier, a little better. And you know something? That's a pretty nice business to be in.
We bring you closer to the ones you love.
Chrysler's revenue statement for the third quarter is due out today, and the financial community has been forewarned to expect the worst. We asked Arvid Juppé of the John Muir Auto Financial Analyst Company how he sizes up the prospects.
A simple word for it, it's going to be a disaster as far as the loss is concerned. Somewhere in the region of $500 million, my number is $500 million, and that would add to approximately $250 million lost in the first and second quarters.
If true, the Chrysler third quarter loss would be greater than any ever suffered by a U.S. corporation.
Well, this would definitely have to be the bottom of the pit for Chrysler Corporation. My own feeling is that they can scramble up the other side, and the very, very fear that's thrown into the organization and into the United States government, for that matter, because of this kind of loss, will create a fair amount of adrenaline, and I look for the fourth quarter to be substantially better, and obviously, it would have to be, because you could not throw loans into a leaky bucket.
Chrysler is looking for federal government help, but do the firm's huge losses mean it's going to go under?
I would say the only way that Chrysler could go under would be for a sudden cessation of the processes that are now taking place. For example, there is the full expectation on the part of Chrysler Corporation and the private sector of the country that the government will now support Chrysler to the extent of a loan guarantee in the order of $750 million.
The federal guarantees, Chrysler thinks, would tide it over until 1981, when it brings out a new line of small cars. But Chrysler has suffered blow after blow to its financial position in recent years, and anything is considered possible. What if it should follow other auto manufacturers who've disappeared in the past?
One, it would leave General Motors and Ford in such a powerful position in the United States that very likely they would need to be broken up into smaller, smaller pieces. And the second thing that it would do, it would certainly put a major crimp on the federal effort to control the atmosphere, and it would be a major blow, I believe, to the environmental cause, because it might indicate that we were trying to go a little bit too fast and too far. And the third thing, of course, is that it would cause major, major disruption, and I don't know what I believe Chrysler's numbers, but and just hundreds of thousands of people laid off and affected by it.
And now this message.
My East Coast electronics firm needed money to expand sales here and abroad. Heller gave us the cash and made exporting easier.
Walter E. Heller & Company can provide your business with expansion funds when others might say no, through imaginative financing that maximizes your credit. What's more, any Heller office here can work with Heller companies overseas to make your exporting as easy as domestic selling, with 100% credit protection. Walter E. Heller & Company, worldwide.
News break. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
CBS News.
The President's Commission on the Three Mile Island nuclear accident has submitted its findings to President Carter. They apparently go wide and deep. I'm Richard C. Hottolett reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Three Mile Island Commission's 12 members met President Carter at the White House this morning and handed him their conclusions. These call for fundamentally new attitudes toward safety in the nuclear industry, but apparently not for a moratorium on new reactors. Details of their report will be released this afternoon, and the President suggested they are extensive.
The Commission has made many far-reaching recommendations to improve nuclear safety. I think specifically 44 different recommendations. And these far-reaching recommendations deserve our immediate and careful attention and study. This is a complicated report. It's highly technical in nature in some respects and will require very careful assessment. Some of its recommendations can be carried out by the industry, some by me through executive order. Some will require legislative recommendations and decisions by the Congress.
Earlier today, station WKXL of Concord, New Hampshire, reached John Kemeny, head of the Three Mile Island Commission, and he revealed that some of the Commission's recommendations center on the work of the Federal Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the NRC.
We find that their arm that is it's called inspection and enforcement, that is supposed to make sure that their regulations are carried out, is extremely weak and often does token inspection. We have found that there were several cases where NRC had information that was vitally needed to prevent an accident like Three Mile Island that never made its way out of the agency. I could go on and on. We really have extremely extensive findings on the NRC.
As expected, President Carter today named Federal Appeals Court Judge Shirley Hufstetler to head the newly created Department of Education. Mrs. Hufstetler, a Democrat, is a resident of Pasadena, California. More news after this.
Anything else, Bill?
Got something for hemorrhoid symptoms, Mr. Baxter? Pain, itch?
Try this.
Preparation H.
In many cases, Preparation H gives prompt, temporary relief of occasional pain and itching of hemorrhoidal tissues.
Great.
Actually helps shrink swelling of tissues caused by inflammation.
I'll try it.
Hi, Bill. How are you today?
Fine. Thanks to your good advice.
Doctor-tested Preparation H helps shrink hemorrhoidal swelling as it relieves pain and itch. Use only as directed.
Hi, I'm Nick, the supermarket manager. Well, now I'm a big TV star. Have you caught me on the tube yet? This customer is asking what she should buy to clean her bathroom. Fantastic, I tell her. And she says...
But Fantastic is my kitchen cleaner. What about my bath?
So I say, look, as fast and easy as Fantastic cleans your kitchen, it'll clean your bath. A couple of days later, she's back all smiles.
Nick, Fantastic is super in the bath.
Fantastic. What it does for your kitchen, it'll do for your bath.
In Houston, Texas, three former police officers have been resentenced to a year and a day in prison for violating the civil rights of a young man who died while in police custody. Earlier, the three had been put on probation, but an appeals court called that punishment illegal and ordered resentencing. Senator Kennedy got some additional support today in his bid to take the Democratic presidential nomination from Jimmy Carter. Kennedy was endorsed by the National Treasury Employees Union, which represents some 70,000 government workers. Also today, former Iowa Senator Dick Clark announced he is resigning as the administration's coordinator for refugee affairs to work for Kennedy. A staff report by the Federal Communications Commission claims that the television industry has failed to meet its obligations in the area of children's programming. The FCC staffers say the industry should be required to provide at least 2.5 hours of programming directed at school-age children each week and 5 hours per week for preschoolers.